The Skagway Assembly approves a settlement over the wastewater treatment plant, and toads chose the wrong place to make their home, according to the FAA. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Skagway Assembly last week tried to find the best fit for municipal projects on various municipal properties. And it looks like the proposed public safety building beat out a new water tank for dibs on city property on 17th Avenue. The Cedar water tank has been stored in Oregon, where it was manufactured for the past several years. The tank originally cost the city $200,000. When manager George Eads came on the job earlier this year, the assembly prodded him to get the tank up to Skagway once and for all. But where to put the tank became a topic of discussion recently. At first, it was thought it could share the property with the new public safety building. Two properties have been considered prime locations for that project, the 17th Avenue site and the Garden City RV Park the city is buying from the Juneau Archdiocese. However, engineers said recently there wouldn't likely be enough space for both structures on the 17th Avenue property. At the meeting last week, Assemblyman Steve Burnham floated the idea of installing the tank at the 17th Avenue property and considering building the public safety building on the new school ballpark property and leaving the Garden City property for another use. That idea didn't gain much traction among the assembly. Assemblyman Mike Korsmo said he had serious issues with using the ball fields for the public safety building site, and that the property should be kept for outdoor use and in case the school needs expanding years from now.
I would not be in favor at all of taking that property and using it for the public safety building, although it's a good location and everything. I think that property should stay within the school's realm, even though it's our property.
Mark Schaefer agreed. He said the assembly had already agreed the public safety building should be on the 17th Avenue property, and he didn't think it would work well to be close to the school.
The school property is not only a bad idea, it's a bad idea because you're suddenly going through a school zone with emergency vehicles, and you're always going to migrate towards State Street. So this facility belongs somewhere on State Street, in my opinion. I want to get this water tank up here, but I don't know where it became so urgent we get it up right now. I mean, let's get it up here and come up with a water plan and then figure out where we should put this instead of, as an afterthought, put it somewhere we've already designated something for.
Paul Reichert also spoke out against using the ballpark field for the public safety facility. The assembly also considered whether the water tank needed to be installed as soon as it arrived in Skagway, but Eads said that's not the case. In fact, it would just be the lumber coming up from Oregon. It could be assembled and installed later. Mayor Stan Selmer suggested even selling the cedar lumber at this point and getting a metal tank when needed in the future. That perked the interest of some among the assembly, but Korsmo noted since it's in usable condition, the city should get the lumber for the tank to Skagway and store it for later use. Back to the location for the public safety building, the assembly reaffirmed its decision that the facility should go on the 17th Avenue site. However, Public Safety Commission Chair and Assemblyman Gary Hansen said other considerations have come up that may not make that the best fit. The assembly agreed that when it seeks funding from the state for the project, it will not commit to a location, only saying there is municipal land available for the facility. The assembly Thursday also voted to move ahead with a preliminary assessment for the West Creek Hydro Project. The group voted 5-1 to hire consultant Chad Gubala to conduct the $20,000 assessment to be completed and delivered in January 2016. We'll have more on that in our Tuesday evening newscast. The assembly also met in executive session and afterward approved a settlement agreement with ASRC McGraw Constructors over delays in the wastewater treatment plant project. The project was meant to upgrade the new plant, but delays and change orders caused the project to go over budget. While the assembly approved a settlement with the company, details are not available publicly until the settlement is signed by McGraw. The Haynesboro Assembly meets Tuesday in a meeting where Mayor Stephanie Scott may exercise her veto power for the first time her term. Scott was absent from the last meeting while she had some medical tests in Juneau. At that meeting, the assembly made two actions the mayor has said she disagrees with and hopes she can convince the group to change direction on. The first was an ordinance having to do with voting procedures in case candidates in an election do not get more than 40% of the vote. Scott is asking the assembly to reconsider that vote with the hope they will amend the ordinance. The dispute is whether to use the number of votes or the number of voters to determine the percentage of votes cast in an election. If the assembly doesn't amend the ordinance, the mayor says she will veto it. The second item that concerns the mayor deals with yurts as temporary dwellings. The Planning Commission has recommended yurts be included in the definition of temporary structures within the town site area. The assembly originally failed to adopt the ordinance, but then last meeting voted to reconsider, meaning they were open to the idea of keeping the ordinance alive. One of the last items on the agenda is a discussion of a manager transition plan. Manager Mark Ernest's last day on the job is October 15th. For a complete agenda and meeting packet, go to HaynesAlaska.gov. The Haynesboro Assembly meets at 6:30 Tuesday evening in Assembly Chambers.
Three miles from downtown, the Haynes Airport is a single paved runway ringed by air taxi hangars. In 2010, nearly 10,000 passengers left the Haynes Airport on an airplane. Still, the airport has tens of thousands of denizens who will never book a flight.
It's also called the Western Toad, or it's called the Boreal Toad.
Biologist Tim Shields, who studies reptiles and amphibians, rediscovered the East Pond. Fed by Yandestucky Creek, this pond provides high-quality breeding habitat for Alaska's one and only species of toad.
It's a remnant pond of an old wetlands. Young cottonwood and willow trees surrounding a small pond that's perhaps 2 acres long. It's long and thin.
After a brisk bicycle ride, Shields walked across the runway to point out the East Pond. The landscape has changed since the airport became active in 1947. Since then, the pond has been nearly encircled by concrete runways.
There's the taxiway on one side. There are hangars on the other side. There's a little taxiway coming from the hangars to the tarmac. So it's sort of, it's not entirely surrounded, but almost. And so it's this little island of habitat in the midst of what's basically paved over.
Recently, the western toad has seen population decline that biologists say is most likely due to a fungus. This wetland area still has many benefits that attract the western toad during its reproductive cycle, Shields explains.
This particular pond, it has some things that are really good from a toad's perspective. It's got a reliable supply of water. It's combined with very shallow water here, which creates the algae that the tadpoles need to eat.
The adult toads eat large quantities of insects and insect larvae. The toad is just one of the species in the pond's ecologic community.
Juvenile coho salmon are great wanderers, and they move into lots of different habitat. My understanding is the fish and game people lobbied to have this pond retained because of its fish value.
The wildlife activity on the tarmac has not gone unnoticed by the airport officials. Keith Karpstein is the engineering manager at the Alaska Department of Transportation.
Currently, that pond's it's an attractant for wildlife and birds.
Shields notes that during the migration season, he has indeed spotted waterfowl.
But I have seen mallards in this pond and some teal. So, yeah, birds do use it.
Bird strikes are a significant threat to flight safety. They cause damage and have resulted in human casualties. The FAA report that 15% of bird collisions cause damage to the aircraft. 90% of bird collisions occur during takeoff or landing in the airport vicinity.
FAA, they encourage eliminating those types of safety hazards, you know, that are maybe inappropriately located within an airport operating area. We feel, and FAA, I believe, is in agreement with us that is an improperly located pond.
According to Google Maps, the Haynes Airport is within 500 feet of the Chilkat River, known to be bald eagle hunting and nesting habitat. The weight of a bird is directly related to how damaging a bird collision with an airplane will be. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Department says bald eagles weigh 14 pounds on average, as opposed to a mallard that weighs in at 2.6 pounds and a teal that weighs under 1 pound, according to a USGS study. Karpstein said the vicinity of the Chilkat River and the danger of eagle strikes are not major concerns for the state.
The nesting eagles are certainly quite a ways away from the airport, so we don't see those as safety hazards.
According to the Aviation Safety Network, no bird strike accidents have been reported at or near the Haines Airport during its years of operation. Karpstein says that the state plans to move ahead with filling the pond. There has been some discussion on what can be done for the displaced toads that would return to their breeding ground in the spring.
You know, I've looked at as many ponds as I can find, and this is consistently the best per unit area in producing toads. But if the decision is made, yes, we're going to pave the pond over, the thought right now is to try to create another pond that will take the place of this one.
Mitigation ponds are made to compensate for impacts made on aquatic environments. A public hearing is scheduled for October 21st at the Haynesborough Assembly Chambers from 6 to 9 p.m. This forum is an open house and discussion of the airport improvement plans. For KHNS, this is Olive Del Sol.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Olive Del Sol for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.